cable news, noisy, boring, out of touch. That's why Salem News Channel is different. We keep you in the know, streaming 24/7 for free. Home to the greatest collection of conservative voices like Dennis Prager, Jay Sekulow, Mike Gallagher, and more. Salem News Channel is unfiltered and unapologetic. Watch anytime on any screen at snc.tv and local now, channel 525.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this sixth day of February, Tuesday, 2024. And indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance. And the old voice of the Christian resistance was out today, and we'll talk about that a little later. But tonight, we are in the very confident hands of that young fella named Style. Hey, Style.
Hey, good evening, Pastor.
And, of course, we have the legendary Missouri. Well, what can I say? I don't know. The legendary Missouri parson. The Pastor Joe Larson.
Infamous, maybe.
Yeah.
And I'm here, ready to go to work.
Well, we have a lot to talk about tonight, so let's get right into it. Let's pick it up where we left off. Do you remember the title of the message?
The Bible or the Internet? Which one receives more of your attention?
All right, so let's take a look at Psalm 12. Verses 6 through 8.
All right. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted.
Okay, so when he says this, when... The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. That furnace and the purification also has an application to the persecution of the saints. And here we know that when it's tried seven times, okay, the seven is the number of perfection. That's as pure as it's going to get. And that
right.
talks about...
And after that, it won't get any more pure.
Right. And if we look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where did they find themselves?
In a fiery furnace.
In a fiery furnace. And so here... But what happened in that case? Who was with them in that furnace?
Being destroyed, they were purified because they were walking with the Lord, weren't they?
They absolutely...
And so, literally, we're walking with the Lord.
Absolutely. So God has their promise to guard his words. The word of life are pure words. Silver tried in a furnace, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. thou shalt preserve them. So God's promised to guard his words through all future generations, through the original autographs. Well, you know, they say no one knows where the original autographs are. I'll bet God knows where there are, aren't they?
And there isn't anything he doesn't know, so that's not really a bet. That's a sure thing.
Yeah, and there are some people that thinks that those were placed in the ark. But now, here we see this, that over the years, the scribes and scholars have here, they have been absolutely meticulous in preserving the Word of God. And when you see this, what is happening today, because you have all of the variant tendings and the different manuscripts, and how they've tried to, well, distort, they've tried to pervert. You've had all of these variant oppositions, you've had these literary criticisms, and all of that, what do? They all leave God's word pure, emerging brighter and surer than ever. This King James Bible is still, it's been attacked more than any other book. The King James Bible has been attacked by the opposition. All of those authors of the New Age perversions, one thing they said, they all agree on, is that they're all against the King James Bible. So what does that tell you there?
Well, that tells you if that's the one getting the flack, that's the one that's over the target. So that must be the real deal.
Absolutely.
You don't hear anybody going after the Message Bible, you know.
No.
In fact, they would promote it, not go after it.
Absolutely. And so here, when we take a look at that, we've seen, when we look at the Internet on the other side of that, you know, Mark Zuckerberg alone has spent billions and billions of dollars on the Internet and to steal the 2020 election. You know, we know that God's Word, the Bible, only produces good. But we talked about that.
$100 billion.
Right. But we talked about the Internet being having no intrinsic value. It can be used for good or it can be used for evil. But the Word of God can only be used for good. And we see here, again, how they used it to try to steal the 2020 election. And, of course, we talked about just yesterday that recently what was revealed about what took place in that courtroom with Dominion, huh?
Right. And I want to correct myself. That was $400 million. That's still an awful lot of dollars.
Yep. Okay, so here we see that God has promised to keep his words, to guard his words, to keep them pure. He says, and thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from generation to forever, forever. And so the question was, and recently there's been all kinds of people saying that the King James Bible had been rewritten. God was not able to do that. He was not able to keep the word pure and get it to us pure. But then verse 8 says, the wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. We just talked about Zuckerberg. There was hearings last week in the Senate where, boy, they took these Internet people and they just really ripped them. But unfortunately, Zuckerberg, the guy standing next to him, the Chinese guy from TikTok, was more responsible for more young suicides, young people. And Zuckerberg had to apologize to the parents that were standing behind him who lost their children because of what was on the Internet. And it caused their children to be bullied and many to be committing suicide because of what they did on the Internet.
Yeah, and TikTok is worse.
Yeah, it is.
But neither one are good. Children shouldn't be either place, really.
Right. But it's all about money. But now there's a lot of talk, even some Democrats are against it. And so we...
Well, it's messing up their children, too. They're starting to see the damage. I guess if enough things hit home, it wakes people up. It's kind of like drunk driving until that one, what was it, senator's child was killed. There wasn't much against drunk driving. Then all of a sudden we had everybody coming out with mothers against drunk driving and really making it a hard crime. But it took somebody famous or powerful before people really went after it.
All right. The Bible defines what manner of person we are. And it does it, Joe, with a very perfect understanding of all of creation by the infallible Creator. Now, the Bible defines the righteous and the wicked, the obedient and the rebellious. The Bible defines an honorable man and a chaste and modest woman. The Bible defines the pastor that is a true shepherd and those that are only hirelings. The Bible distinguishes between the sons of God and those that are bastards. Turn to Hebrews 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and read verses 5 through 8.
And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons.
Okay,
that's
so
pretty here.
Pretty
clear.
Yeah, there's no stuttering going on there, is there?
No.
So here, now the Bible exhorts us to do good, and it chastens us for doing evil. Okay. Now, even though the internet can help in many ways, it's used more for evil than for good. And see, the whole point is, which are you spending more time in? And we have people saying, well, now Pastor, wait, I got to do it for my work. See, now, you don't owe me an apology. I'm asking you the question, you know what your conscience is telling you. how much time do you spend in the Bible? I'm not telling you you shouldn't be doing so much time on the internet. I'm telling you, how much time do you spend in the Word of God? Which one is more profitable for you? And so, God and Father and family are not held in very good lights for the most part on the internet.
But, no, they aren't. You're not going to find a lot of good there that deals that's biblical, that has a Christian worldview. And, I've got an article after the Bible study. We are on the precipice of Christian invisibility, and our old friend George Barna has got a new article out, a new book, actually.
Yeah. When the Bible says, here's the problem with George Barna. He looks at evangelicals, but you never hear him, very seldom does he ever look into fundamentalist Christians, okay? And who are the strictest Bible believers, the most conservative, and those that hold to the Word of God stricter than anybody else?
The fundamentalists.
Yeah.
The fundamentalists, especially the unregistered church, the unregistered Baptists. They're the fundamentalists that are the most outspoken and the most, running to the battle.
Absolutely. Activists, doers of the word, not
activists,
just hearers.
Thinking activists wasn't coming.
Now, here again, we talked about, even though the internet can help in many ways, and it does, it's used more for evil than good. God and Father and family, we just said that they're not very held in very high esteem and very high light for the most part on the internet. In fact, the Bible defines who is good and who is evil. The internet doesn't make a distinction between good and evil, does it? It's whatever, okay? And so here...
Whatever gets the most clicks, the clickbait.
So we want to turn... Well, now the Bible provides the only perfectly accurate historical account of the past from the beginning to the present and lets us get a glimpse of what we need to know about the future. Now, as I said before, the internet has no intrinsic value. It can be used for good or evil, like fire, like water, like money. While it's necessary for some jobs and professions, it's also sneaky and sly. While you monitor the internet monitors you. Most people.
Exactly. Where you go, what you see, what you do on the internet, what you buy, what you read. And now with this new AI, there's going to be more deceit, more fraud, more illusion things that are not real. AI is extremely creative, and there'll be a lot of not just garbage, but fraudulent things being perpetrated on the people on the internet.
Yeah, most people have no clue at all to the amount of personal information that they surrender to unseen forces every single time that they go up online. You are unaware of the process used by these unseen forces to very subtly influence you. They influence you. You don't know it. Most people aren't aware of it, but they influence your behavior and your daily activities. Its ultimate goal is to assimilate you into the collective. That is the ultimate goal, to make you a one-world-order person, a part of the collective. And the only chance you have of avoiding the fall into that burning lake of fire, folks, and that's a reality, what we're talking about, which is the ultimate torment, is a true salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And with that, let's go over to 2 Corinthians 13 and read me verses 1 through 5.
This is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established.
1 through 5.
I told you before and foretell you as if I were present the second time, and being absent, now I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all others, that if I come again, I will not spare. Since
okay.
You seek a proof. Okay, stop.
Okay, I think you're in a wrong passage. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 5.
Yeah, 2 Corinthians 13.
Okay. Oh, I see. You're in verse now. There, I see. You're in verse 3 now. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Just a second, our page, yeah. Since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates?
Okay, so here now he starts out by saying, I come to you now in the mouth of two or three witnesses, shall every word be established. I told you before and foretell you as a... He's kind of carrying the big stick here, isn't he?
Yeah,
he said, if I were present the second time and being absent, now I write to them which hereunto have sinned, and to all others, that if I come again, I will not spare. So he's, again, saying there's going to be some church discipline there, huh?
Right, and you're being chastised.
Since you seek a proof,
with this letter, right. But if I come, it's going to be a lot worse.
So if seek you a proof of Christ speaking to me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through the weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Now here's the key verse. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Now, some people, Joe, think that by simply professing Christ, that they're having a profession in the Lord Jesus, that they're saved, that they have a possession.
Profession and possession are very different things.
So,
I can profess I'm a cat, but I don't have the possession of a cat. So profession of faith is words. Possession is when it's really in your heart and you have received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You then have possession.
Okay, so I remember years ago when I first went into the military, and you know how they asked you what your faith is and your blood type and all of that for the dog tags?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I was standing there with these two other young guys, and so they asked me, and I told them I was a Baptist, and I wasn't, when I first went in the military, I wasn't even saved, but I had been going to church, a Baptist church, but I told them that, and told them my blood type, and so they asked these other two fellas, what is your faith? And they said, well, we were born in America, so we're Christians. I said, what? Yeah. If you're born in America, you're a Christian, they said. And I'm thinking, boy, I don't know where that came from. You know, at that time I was saying, I'm definitely not a scholar, but boy, I know better than that, okay? And so here, what happens? What do you have to do? How do you examine yourself whether you be in the faith? Okay, first of all, you go. What is the very first thing required before salvation?
Repentance.
Repentance, right. The word of faith, church, teaches that repentance is not necessary for salvation.
First word he spoke in his ministry was the word repent.
Repent, right.
That's the first word that means that's where he put some emphasis, right?
Right. Again, others will say, if you profess that you're a Christian to other people, then you're saved. What did Jesus say about that over Matthew chapter 7? He said what? Many are called, but few are chosen.
But I never knew you.
Yeah. Yeah, I never, when they said, but we, in your name did we raise the dead and cast out demons.
Yeah.
And he said, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, because I never knew you. Were they doing these things for the cause of Christ, or were they doing it for their own edification?
I think for their own edification, for their own glory, or something. You know, they were getting something out of it.
So Jesus tells them, many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. One of the tactics used by the opposition is to say, look how few of you there are, and you're less all the time. You're getting less and less. There's going to be less and less Christians. What did Jesus say about when he returned? He said, what, will I find any faith? But did he say that Christians would be the minority, or did he say there would be the few?
Be the very few.
And so this is exactly what is happening right now. People are turning away from the faith in large numbers, aren't they?
Exactly. We're losing our children, and so they're not growing into the faith. They're being raised on the internet.
And
the television, they get put in America. Kids get put when they're just tiny in front of the TV, and now I see these kids running around with their own phones and they're on the internet when they're 6, 7 years old, and you know. But they, like I said, they have, everybody knows Santa Claus, and but nobody knows Jesus.
All righty, we'll be right back.
Well, 5G data. Anybody who wants to believe that 5G is a new phenomenon that somehow or another proliferated across the globe somewhere in 2018 and 2019, when the United States Department of Defense sold the frequency, needs to go back and look at the underlying fact, which is the U.S. Department of Defense has had 5G all over the world for years and has found it to be not sufficient for their requirements, which is why they sold it commercially. And as much as people say, well, but 5G just started. No, it didn't. 5G was sold as unusable spectrum by the Department of Defense. And carriers bought it, not from the FCC, not from an authorized auction. They bought it from the unused frequency that the DoD was giving up. So even the 5G narrative falls apart on its face because we are pretending like because it went into civilian use, it hadn't been used before. I think the whole thing has been very well orchestrated to set a number of little breadcrumbs out there to allow anybody anywhere to go, it's this, it's that, it's something else. And all of them distract from the central problem, and the central problem is a colluding set of conspirators in both public sector and in industry, knew by 2015, and Peter Daszak, by the way, said it outright, we are going to get the public to understand the need for a medical countermeasure such as a pan-coronavirus vaccine. We need the media to create hype. We need to use that hype to our advantage to get to the real issues. Investors will respond if they see profit at the end of the process. The media hype was a programmed hype. And during the entirety of COVID, what did we have? We had the breadcrumb of 5G. We had the breadcrumb of SARS-CoV-2. We had the breadcrumb of UFOs. We had the breadcrumb of transgender. We had the breadcrumb of men can have babies. We had the breadcrumb of BLM. Are you kidding? This was not some co-emergence of social issues that all came about randomly at the same time. This was a destruction of the public confidence narrative, which allowed everybody to jump on a bandwagon so that nobody talked about the real crime. And the real crime was something which in 2005 unambiguously stated that the synthetic coronavirus was going to be, and I quote, a biological warfare enabling technology. I don't know where the mystery is.
Alrighty, I know where the mystery is. It's out there. It's called the world. Okay, there you go. Joe, two things happened today. Okay, one of the things that we saw happen was that here they had the hearings, okay, for Mariakas. For Mariakas, the and as far as his impeachment hearings go. And we saw what happened. We saw we were betrayed. Here's a guy that sat there and lied under oath. And you saw him. Here's a guy that sat there and told you the border was secure. The border was secure. And under oath, time and time again, as we're looking, as we're seeing literally millions of people coming in, over 50,000 Chinese nationals. We see drug dealers, terrorists, human traffickers, you name it, coming into this country by the millions. And this Mariaoka sat there doing exactly what he was told to do, sat there. You sat there and you lie. You look at that camera and you lie. And no matter how they beat you up, you just keep lying under oath. Don't worry. They can't prosecute you because they don't have a Justice Department. The guy that's in there is even more crooked than you, even more corrupt than you. We have Merrick Garland in there. We own him. We own him, and he will do whatever he is told to do. He will lie under oath, too. We saw that. But here now, Ken Buck, Congressman McClintock, Congressman Mike Gallagher, they stood there and they watched him and they heard him lie after. And so they refused to vote, okay, for the impeachment. They voted, not like the Democrats that stay in lockstep. The Democrats stay in lockstep, but the rhinos will sell you out in a heartbeat. They will sell you out. And then you've got Blake Moore. When it came to a 215 to 215, the one congressman that was being treated for cancer, you know who I'm talking about, the fellow that was shot. Are you there, Joe?
Yeah, that young Democrat.
No, the fellow that was...
Republican here that was just shot the other day. Yeah, I...
No. The fellow that was not there, I think, for the vote today...
Oh.
...was the...
Yeah.
It starts with Scalia?
Scalia. No.
No, not Scalia.
We mentioned it earlier.
Yeah, I know who I'm trying to... But anyhow... So he would have been the breaking vote, but he wasn't there because he was being treated, for cancer.
Cancer treatment,
yeah,
right.
Cancer, yeah. And so...
Steve Scalise.
That's who I was trying to think of. So here...
Yeah, Scalise. We're getting confused. Yeah, Scalise.
Yeah, so what happens... Yeah, so what happened was you would have had a tie vote on this. But to make it worse, Blake Moore again, who sat there and he watched and he knew, like all of the others, he switched his vote. Somebody got to him, okay? And this is what happens to us all the time. We get it in the back by these rhinos. And now, but something good happened.
Here's something I heard. I might interrupt you. I heard something. They said that Moore's nay vote against impeaching Mayorkas deserves an asterisk. I'm quoting from an article. He's not really against impeaching Mayorkas. Moore voted no, so the Republican effort to impeach Mayorkas could live to fight another day. That was the key in having it where they could bring it back to a floor vote again when Steve Scalise comes back. Then Moore and Scalise voting, it will pass. It's just a case of having to wait maybe another few days or a week, depending on Scalise.
Unless they get some other rhinos, unless some other rhinos get bought off.
Yeah, but for now, that was what the key was. And Moore's vote helped make it so they could bring it up again. I guess there's some rule if enough... something happened, they could bring it back, but if it was something else, they wouldn't be able to. I don't quite understand their rules in the Senate. They don't always make sense. Senate rules are rather confusing.
All righty. So anyhow, here, but locally, and this is, I know this is a national program, but here's why it's so important for locally here, because what has taken place here, the same thing is taking place in counties across the country now. Out today in the Geauga County Republican Party, they had their meeting, and this was to discuss the primary. You had all of these politicians came out. I went down there, and a number of the politicians saw me out there, and what they did is they locked the door. They said only certain people could come in here, only those of us in. Basically, what they were saying, the Rhino Republicans can come in here, okay? But what happened, it was before the Central Committee members, for those that were all supposed to be in there, and then some of the politicians. Well, some of the politicians or people that were candidates, were running for office, weren't allowed in because they were not the people that the Republican chair wanted. Okay, now Joe, there's never been a time here where they gave endorsements in the primary. There's never done that. But now the chair was running. She wanted to run. her, and her name, by the way, like Nancy Pelosi, is Nancy also. And she has this little group that she keeps, you know, in lockstep with her. And she wanted to get endorsement. She wanted to be endorsed in the primary to run for an office, I believe, a county commissioner. And so what happened was there was a protest. People got tired of this virtually rigging the elections. She's been able to pretty much have her people all in lockstep, this small group of people, to control everything. Well, the majority of the people said, you know, we're kind of tired of this. You know, we're tired of rhinos and being betrayed. And so there was a protest. I went down there, and a number of the politicians saw me out there. They come out to say hi and let me know, what are all you folks doing here? We told them. Now, they expected, you know, to always control the vote. Like, everything is rigged. Well, what happened, Joe? It did not go their way, and it was voted down. In fact, the vote was something like 44-19 in our favor, in the favor of the conservative Tea Party Republicans, okay? And so we had actually, we voted, and they were, this is the first time that the rhinos who were in charge really got swamped. And a number of people finally woke up to what's happening, and they're realizing we're not going to put up with it. Remember, Joe, how I warned and I warned and I warned about the Democrats registering to run in a primary going all the way back to 2000.
Yeah.
And we kept telling people, you better don't forget whether there's an R or D behind their name. Vet these people. Find out who they are, because find out how they ran the last time. And so now they're doing that. But what happened was in Ohio here, we have what they call the Rhino Blue 22. The Rhino Blue 22, those were Democrats that ran as Republicans. And now they vote with the Democrats more than they'll vote with the Republicans. And so there you go. That's what happened. But we had the Tea Party conservatives had a major victory today. And so it looks like a number of people are changing, and they're coming over to the conservative side out of Rhinoville, which is really good. So, anyhow, that's that.
Yeah, I want to back up on that. Those three that voted, Moore had told everybody, Congressman Moore, he was, you know, voting for impeachment. But the rule is that if a member on the prevailing side there in the Senate of a roll call vote in this case, for instance, the nays, he can say, I make a move to reconsider a vote. In other words, then he can demand with his no vote, he can demand a revote. And the other two, Gallagher, McClintock, and Buck, were not going to make a move to order a revote. So one of the House GOP brass had to change his vote to a no to call for a revote. So when Scalise comes back in a week or two, they can get this passed. So in a way, Moore is a hero, but the left made it look like he's a traitor.
Okay.
I wanted to make that clear to people.
Well, that's what the word that they were putting out. And, boy, I'm going to tell you, I watched it, and that's what it looked like when I saw that.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. But you have to dig into the weeds. See, like I said, the Senate's very complicated. And what happened about the time they realized that the Republicans didn't get the vote count right, when it went 215-215, they realized there was no way they were going to impeach him, because a tie means the measure, whatever it is, fails.
Well, you see,
so you only fail.
You only have 100 senators. You're talking about the House.
The House vote, yeah, right, on
yeah,
the House.
Okay.
Yeah, on the House side, sorry.
Right, and so now here, let's switch over. We are on the precipice of Christian invisibility. Studies have shown for years, even decades, the number of those in America who believe and follow the Bible's guide to a moral life has been dropping. Now it's reaching crisis, according to a new book raising spiritual champions, nurturing your child's heart, mind, and soul by George Barnum. And he's the director of the Cultural Research Center and a professor of Arizona Christian University. He's also the author of a dozen books. Now, he addressed the spiritual decline in America's children. Children are intellectually and spiritual sponges in their preteens. They are desperately trying to make sense of the world and identity and their purposes. Take it from there, Joe.
Basically, what he's doing, he said parents are the ones that have the duty to, you know, be the primary teachers to create a Christian worldview, which is how you make decisions the rest of your life, is based on your worldview. If you have a solid biblical Christian worldview, it controls how you vote, how you think, how you act. And if that isn't instilled as a child, the public school system will give you a socialist, communist worldview, and that's what's happening. Even many Christians don't understand, and they send their children to the devil to get educated, and by the time the devil gets done with them, they are rejecting their Christianity and accepting the world's current worldview, which is the one world order, become part of the Borg, or the,
Yeah, well, many of the Democratic blue states, homeschoolers are under attack. I mean, they really, like in California and others, homeschoolers really come under attack. They want to stop. Now, recently, there's been a lot from the opposition saying the reason that the attendance in the public schools have been dropping off is because of homeschoolers. And here in Ohio, you had to listen to this. They wanted to start paying children to go to school. And I was reading one of the statements by one of the state reps that wanted to pass this legislation, said, if they don't come to school, how are they going to learn to use what bathroom they can use or what gender they are? He misses the whole point, doesn't he?
Yeah, everything's missed. Well, what they do, again, is they always turn it around. What is the failure in the public school system they're throwing on the homeschoolers? But it's not true. They just turn it around. They take what they're doing and project it onto the homeschool.
Well, they don't understand the reason the people are pulling their kids out. They don't want them to know. You know, look, they're supposed to know that before they go to school. I always knew that. Did you always know what bathroom to use? Did you always know what gender you were?
Yep. No doubts.
You know what? I knew what a woman was when I was 5 years old. Today, those at Harvard and Yale still don't, right?
Well, it takes that much education to destroy common sense.
Yep.
It's right now the public schools are teaching the children to declare their independence from parents. And that's just the opposite, again, of what God teaches. Honor thy father and thy mother, and the parents are to be the primary teachers, raising them up in what admonition of the Lord. So if you look at this whole thing, everything that the school teach, you know, are failing to do, they're turning around and blaming homeschoolers for failing schools. Well, we've got schools that are having to close because of lack of students. Well, they have lack of students because the students aren't being taught, and the children can't read, they can't do mathematics, and so they go to a homeschool or a Christian school, and they're thriving, flourishing. So what do? The public school system blames homeschoolers for the you know, failing public school system. You know, it's the same old story. It's been going on for years.
Well, here, the Biden regime warns banks about Christians who bought Bibles as extremists. An agency of the federal government now flagged Bible purchases as an indication of extremism in communications with banks following the events of January 6, 2021. We now know the federal government flagged terms like MAGA, Trump, to financial institutions. If America completed transactions using these terms, Representative Jim Jordan, a Republican of Ohio, wrote on it, what was also flagged, if you bought a Bible or shopped at a Bass Pro Shop. I wonder what that has to do with the Bible. Boy, anyhow.
Bass Pro are the people that love the outdoors, hunting and fishing, and they wear Carhartt brand clothes, are generally Republicans for some reason.
So he detailed the committee and select subcommittee finding in January 17 letter to former director of the Office of Stakeholder Integration and Engagement in the Strategic Operations Divisions of Financial Crime Enforcement Network, Noah Bischoff. Here, again, following the January 6th, FinCEN distributed materials to financial institutions that outline the typologies of various persons of interest, provided institutions with suggested search terms by identifying transactions on behalf of law enforcement, Jordan wrote. In other words, they wanted to flag people that bought Bibles.
They were tracking you and your purchases, and they were trying to say, because those of us on the right were the terrorists. The leftists said what? Those Bible-believing, fundamental, Constitution-loving conservatives, we are the terrorists. Look at January 6th. We're the enemy. And they're forming enemy lists, and what do you do to an enemy? Well, you go after him, you cut him off from his banking, you maybe get him fired from a job, you make his life miserable, and he might not want to stand up and be conservative. He might capitulate and back off. And that's what they're doing. Well, in fact, we were talking about this the other day. The Democrats are now attorneys for Republicans are being targeted by the Democrats. They have been using this lawfare against opponents, and it's been working real well, so they're expanding their campaign. There's a new report at the Federalist, and it involves filing Bar Association and other complaints against lawyers who represent clients that are opposing the Democrats. So this campaign, the report said, filing ethics, even criminal complaints against lawyers who oppose Democrats in election litigation. And now they're going after any lawyer who crosses the Democrat on any policy area. So see what they're doing? They're trying to win in the courts. Before, they had liberal courts. Remember, they would always try and get things to the Supreme Court because there were more liberal judges. Well, because of Trump, the court flipped a little bit. It's mostly conservative. And so they couldn't win there. So what are they doing now? They're going after the attorneys, the Republican conservative attorneys, and trying to drive them out of business, try and get them to have the Bar Association revoke their license, cause them to lose clients. This is warfare, lawfare by intimidation, and messing with your reputation, your income. And it is backing a lot of Republican attorneys off. They are not willing to lose their income. They have their family attacked, and so they capitulate. And so, therefore, we lose by, not being on the playing field.
All righty. Insider info, U.S. Pedophile Brotherhood, child sex abuse network led by the Biden regime, Clinton and Obama. I'm sitting here right now looking at pictures, Joe, of Barack Obama, and he's got what looks to be about a 10-year-old Chinese girl on his lap, and it looks like he's trying to kiss her on the neck. There's another picture of Obama with another young girl, probably 9 or 10. There's a picture of Bill Clinton in the water, and he's got these two little girls with him. I would probably say maybe 7 or 8. Do you have those pictures?
Not available, no.
All right. Then I have, there's a number of pictures of Joe Biden. Joe Biden has got this one little girl. He's got his nose right in her hair. And yeah, she looks like she's
crying. I remember seeing the pictures. Yeah, he's always sniffing hair.
Yeah, well, it looks like she's crying. And then there's another couple pictures here. There's one with a little Chinese girl, and he's got, again, he's sniffing her hair. But there's a little boy who looks to be about 4 years old or 5 years old, and Joe Biden is trying to kiss him on the lips. And then there's a picture here of Epstein, and Epstein has a little girl, I would probably say 7 or 8 years old, on his lap, and his hands are where they shouldn't be. Okay, so now here, it goes on to say, the Foundation to Battle Injustice has obtained previously unpublished evidence of child abuse practices by high-ranking U.S. officials and businessmen. The Foundation to Battle Injustice examined methods of protecting high-ranking pedophiles from media attention and prosecution. Human rights activists assessed the extent of official legalization of pedophilia in the U.S. and found out what facts of the scandalous Jeffrey Epstein case are still classified. You know, the ACLU, that's their main goal right now, is to legalize pedophilia. The ACLU is a very corrupt, I mean an extremely, totally, completely corrupted organization. The foundation
it's
also...
veered from where it was, it's what it first came out to be. It has come a long way, right?
I would have to say, you know, according to the last verse in Romans 1, that it's a pedophile organization. I would have to, that was would make it very clear to me that it's a pedophile organization. The foundations also obtained the names and positions of President Biden's administration, official businesses, lawmakers possibly involved in lewd acts of sexual nature against minors, revealed details about American elite pedophile organizations. The first reference to high-ranking profile politicians, popular actors, directors, and successful businessmen being linked to pedophilia and sexual exploitation of minors began to emerge long before the scandal involving Jeffrey Epstein. I guess so, Joe. We were talking about it back in the 70s when it wasn't even nothing compared to today.
No.
Financer accused of trading sexual favors for U.S. officials and public figures. The investigation is a result of long, complex work with several sources, including investigative journalists for major U.S. news outlets, former Joe Biden's 2020 presidential campaign staff member, and a former employer of Us Kids Foundation, a U.S. human rights organization. Well, that's what we've known. The United States government is the world, leads the world, the government, the Biden regime, right now in child sex trafficking, right now.
Well, you've got to look, society is to blame because we don't see what's in front of us. I've got one article here, or two. One, fast fashion giant chain, Shein, looks like Shein, under fire for sexy toddler, not child, toddler, crop tops, mini skirts, sequin dresses. This is for girls as young as 6 months old. Now, you know, the parents are the ones that buy clothing. I've got some pictures. You can't show pictures, but this is stuff that you would see a little whore wearing on the street. And they talking about, oh, how cute and sexy these are. Toddler dresses, you know, 6 months, a year, 2 years old. I went back and looked through some of our stories and the sexy Halloween costumes. And for the past 20, 30 years.
Joe, we're up against a hard break. So you'll have to hang on to that until we get to the other side. So we will be back with a lot more right after this. Don't go away. More to come.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.